Thank you so much. You should have a handout in your seats, and so we want to start off in the book of Psalms, Psalms 34. We're going to go through several scriptures to kind of let our eyes rest on these scriptures to give us some understandings that we need. Now, I want to also reference something that was said in pre-service prayer about going and stirring yourself up. The Holy Spirit reminded me that, you know, it's not a physical exertion process. And so it's a faith process.
Amen.
So don't think physical, think faith. Always think faith.
Amen.
And so when you say stir, well, how am I stir? The mixer or the stirrer is your tongue.
Amen.
And so Hebrews tells us the principle of this. When he said, they heard the word, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so when we hear the word, like go, like grow, like give, you know, our mission 2018, right? And so this is just a little side item, a little appetizer. Amen. And so when you hear those things, how do you apply it to your life personally? How do you appropriate that into your life personally? Well, you have to mix faith with it.
Amen.
How do you mix faith with it? Now, let's go back into kind of talk about how do you mix faith with it. Well, first, I call it the AAA of mixing faith. So you have to first acknowledge it. You know, Philemon 6 says, there's only one chapter, so there's one verse, that the communication of thy faith becomes effectual or effective through the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ in Jesus.
Amen.
And so if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and Christ was a goer, Christ was a grower, Christ was a giver, guess what you can be? Because John, 1 John says, as he is, so are we in this world. So as he is, that means God, through the Holy Spirit, sent his son, and his son went where the Father told him to go. So you can go. So what do you say? You acknowledge, I can go because Christ has gone. I can go to the lost and go to the lonely.
Amen.
Amen. You have to acknowledge, I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Is that acknowledgement?
Yes.
And then there has to be agreement. That means faith agrees with what God said. If God said, through the person of Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, go into all the highways, hedges, and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Luke 4:23.
Amen.
Faith agrees with God versus doesn't agree with logic and your physical senses that tell you this person is repelling me, this person is resisting me, this person is telling me no, I don't want to come. So you don't have to, and it segues into what we're talking about, because you don't have to deal with the pain of disappointment.
Amen.
Or discouragement when somebody, you know, closes the door on you or says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about Jesus right now. You wait and stay persistent. Because faith is also consistent.
That's right.
Confession has the element or a understanding of saying the same thing, but also consistently. You maintain your confession of faith. That's why the Bible tells us to hold fast to it. So we don't say, well, I haven't brought anybody. So you get dejected and disappointment, and now you got pain you're dealing with, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, understanding your pain through. And so the pain of failure or fear of failure or the pain of disappointment, then you have to struggle with it. And you have low pain threshold because somebody rejects you once and you quit, then that's low. Right? Yes. So everybody say acknowledge.
Agree.
And then you have to announce. You have to announce.
Sorry.
The devil tells you something in your head to try to discourage you from inviting people to church, sharing Christ, showing Christ, inviting people or bringing people to church, then you announce, I'm a soul winner. The psalm, the proverb says, he that winneth souls is wise.
That's right.
So I'm a soul winner because I'm wise. And you announce what the scripture says, Luke 21:15. You know, the Lord said he'll give you a mouth and wisdom by which none of your adversaries will be able to gainsay or nor resist.
Hallelujah.
So nobody will be able to resist the wisdom that's coming out of my mouth.
Amen.
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 People will not, you announce, Mr. Devil, I'm telling you that people are going to be attracted to my invite.
Amen.
People are going to be hooked on to my invitation to come to church.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And so what you have to do those things to stir yourself up.
Amen.
Now remember, things aren't done in the New Testament by the works of the law. So you have to get away from just human effort. Now you have to make the effort, but the effectiveness comes from your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You have to exercise your faith. It's not effort, it's exercise. The exercise of your faith. And so your agreement is with God. God, who do you want me to reach this week?
Amen.
Who do you want me to go to this week? And as you are what? Willing and obedient, you'll get used. We often say it, the best availability, the best ability is what?
Availability.
Availability. He said, if you make yourself available, he'll equip you to be able.
Amen.
To talk to, you know, only a few of us working in here, so we have an actual job to go to, but you talk to a boss, talk to a neighbor. Amen.
Amen.
Talk to a family member. He will enable you to talk to them appropriately. That will bypass their logic and their debates.
Amen.
And touch their heart. Remember, faith is of the heart. And when you preach the gospel to them, you're preaching it with faith, knowing that those that hear it and believe will respond.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise
hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah.
So listen, friends, the challenge is what we're talking about tonight, pain, emotions. We talked about the emotions at least last couple Wednesday nights. And what probably the emotional management is, some people say, well, I don't feel like I'm good at this. Feelings have to do nothing with it.
That's exactly right.
Faith has to do a lot with it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And then your follow through of committed action, corresponding action. Say, Lord, I'm going to acknowledge that this is my assignment every day, every week. My assignment is to go, to grow, and to give.
Amen.
I agree with your word. I announce in the face of sense contradiction, you have to announce the word.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Let God be true. Let everyone else be a liar.
That's right.
Isn't that good?
Yes, it's good.
So let's go to Psalm 34, verse 1. 19, excuse me, I'm sorry. I said one. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So we want to talk about understanding your pain threshold. So we've quoted this verse with the understanding that the scripture is very clear that the righteous will go through many afflictions. So you have to change your perspective about pain. The reality of pain is inevitable. It's coming. Either you went through a painful situation or you're going to be going through a painful situation. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to John. John 13, 16, 33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will. Now, how many know that's pretty different? You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
The perspective is now, it will come, but because he overcame all, you can overcome all. You are an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
You are an overcomer. Everybody say, I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
All right, Romans 8. Romans 8. We're going to go through a lot of scripture in the beginning, so just kind of turn with me. Put your eyes on it. Romans 8, 17. And if you, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, now we said this before last week, if indeed you suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we said, no suffering, no glory. Amen. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise God. Now let's go down to verse 35, same chapter, stay in that same chapter, Romans 8. Verse 35, Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No, the answer is no. What you have to do, you have to acknowledge and agree with these scriptures. That tribulation shall not separate me from the love of Christ, nor distress or persecution. Now, these are elements of pain, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake you are killed all day long. Now, he doesn't even say all week, all month, because sometimes we got bad, but he's saying all day. Paul was going through a lot of pain. We are counted as sheep for what? The slaughter. Praise God. Now, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, how many know we're living in the last days? Yes. Perilous times will come. That means hard times, times tough to deal with, says an Amplified. Now skip down to verse 12. Same chapter, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what?
Persecution.
So we want to paint a landscape and a colorful scriptural picture of the concept of pain, and we might say suffering scripturally. Now, suffering unscripturally is the stuff that God's promised to do, give you, and you're just putting up with it, you know, without knowing that, hey, I don't need to be suffering this. I can understand the other stuff, but not this stuff. Amen? All right, First Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. So we rejoice in everything from verse 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean verse 3, 4, and 5. In these three verses you rejoice. Those are the facts, spiritual realities. Now the temporal reality is this. Watch this. In this it goes, though now, for a little while, temporal reality. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials, pain, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him you yet believing, you rejoice with the inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. So this is a concept of realizing that the way to change your temporary reality to the spiritual truth and reality is faith. It's by faith. And we said faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Now, the other fear or doubt, we would say, complains, worries, and is sad. You see the comparisons, right?
Yes.
One's spiritual, one's natural, carnal, and one's bad and one's good. Amen? So if you're a person of faith, this is the faith process of changing these right now in Christ realities, spiritual truths, verse 3, 4, and 5 of 1 Peter 1 to 1 Peter 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of the soul, is rejoicing and acting your faith. Praise God. Even though presently you're going through stuff. One translation says every kind of aggravation. King James says you're going through manifold temptations. And then another translation says heaviness, pain, problems, those kinds of things. All right, let's go to verse chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials. Now, he describes the trial as fiery. That means it's very hot. That means it's very uncomfortable. That means it's painful, which is to try you, as though some strange things happen to you. Now, I like how one bishop said it, Bishop David Oyedepo said it. He said, if you're thinking it strange what you're going through, the pain that you're experiencing, you're listening to the stranger. Now, he brings this out from the John 10 account where it says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John. And he said, but the voice of the stranger, they will not follow. And so the stranger will get in there talking to your head saying, this is unique to you. I don't know why you're going through this. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. And so when you start thinking strange like that, you're listening to the stranger.
Amen.
Okay? So let's put the stranger in his place. But he said, here he goes again, but rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Now, how much of that is practice? Because the first thing we want to do is tell. We're going to post, we're going to talk, we're going to text, and tell our woe. Woe is me. Look at my pain. We got the victim glasses on, right? But he said, rejoice that you get the extent that you partake in Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding what? How much joy? Exceeding joy. If you be our reproach for the name of Christ, there is something like that? Yes. He said, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. So this is, in the Greek, is an implication that there is always reserved by God the special manifestation of the Spirit of God when you're being buffeted or suffering for Christ's sakes.
Amen.
Because the devil's a meanie. He's just going to hit you just because you're pushing forward in the will and work of the Lord. And he's going to push back at you.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, on their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. So you're not supposed to suffer in that stuff. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be what? Ashamed. But let him glorify God in this matter.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't be ashamed. And like was said also in pre-service prayer, one inference or implication that Brother Steve was making is that we got to say, you know, when things come up, this is another opportunity. But again, that same faith process, right? We got to acknowledge pain is coming. But this is just another opportunity, what? For God to get the glory through my life and on my behalf. This is another opportunity to see God's word come true
Amen.
In my life
Amen.
And manifest in my life.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. We got to get into these practices of truth. Amen?
Amen.
And so when you acknowledge it and you agree that this is something that's not because I've been such a bad evildoer. If you got a clear conscience and the devil shows up and throws a hurricane in your front yard, in other words, I'm dealing with a painful situation now. He said you ought to be rejoicing that you get to partake in Christ's suffering because they persecuted him, they beat him, they gave him problems, and he didn't do anything wrong. So you have to agree with that. I'm partaking in Christ's suffering and rejoice that there will be a special manifestation of God's presence and the glory of God that comes to bear on my behalf in the middle of that situation.
Hallelujah.
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 Now, when you get ashamed of it is when you get in fear about it. And, you know, the nasty little offspring of fear is doubt. You worry. You complain, and you're sad. And then as the brother was telling us, you stirring yourself up becomes a huge mountainous issue. I can't stir myself up. I'm in so much pain. All right, let's go one more scripture. 1 Peter 5:10. Let's look at that. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. What? No suffering, no what? No glory. We say no pain, no gain. Okay? After you suffer a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Here's one thing you need to think about. God's more interested in your development of character than your delight and comfort.
Amen.
Now, we've kind of twisted Christianity as candy cane lane. That everything's supposed to be fine when you get hooked up with the Lord. And it's just a real nice, easy street faith gospel. There's no easy street faith. Amen? We said even growth is messy. And growth, and again, not picking on Brother Steve, but I'm just using a lot of analogies, just things that he was bringing out in his prayer, the pre-service prayer. He was talking about growing. But the Holy Spirit said, don't you realize growth equals change? As we said last week. So we pray to grow. We're actually praying to change. And some people are creatures of comfort, and they don't like to change. Give you a specific example. Just the simple situation of seating. When there's not enough people to fill all the seats, when there's a lot of empty seats, people sit where they want. But when we talk about people standing in line waiting to get in, trying to find a seat. Now, there's a change in, I gotta figure out where I'm gonna sit. And, I gotta hear the ushers for the first time in a while tell me you gotta scoot over to the middle. Because you don't want the new people crossing over you. See, people pray for stuff and really don't understand what it entails. Because growth equals change. And as we said, change equals loss. Loss equals pain. Thus, what? Growth equals pain. Isn't that right?
Yes, amen.
Here it is. I said it last week. Growth equals change. So people want to grow, but are you willing to change?
Yes.
To make it happen. Now, change means I have to stop doing things the way I used to been doing. And he said it again. Yesterday's excellence is today's mediocrity. It's not acceptable to do the same thing and expect growth. We all know the analogy, just simply losing weight. You can't continue to eat the same calorie level and no exercise and same activity level and expect pounds to get shed off of you. I'm going to cast the calories out. Faith without what? Works is dead. You have to change your diet and exercise and activity regimen, right?
Yes.
Then you lose the weight.
Yes. Amen.
But people don't like losing because that means I have to stop being comfortable with going to my favorite seat because we're getting ready to go to the building. And, you know, everything's been approved and we're waiting for the landlord to do our walkthrough and get the keys. But what happens? People say, I'm lost. It's easy to get comfortable, and now we got to change and go to work. Grow the building out, as said again in pre-service prayer. Grow that building out, grow the next building out, grow the next building out. Can't stop. But what will stop us? This thing called pain threshold. I don't want to change anymore. I want to be set in my ways. I don't want to lose stuff that I'm comfortable with. I don't want to stop doing the things I always used to do. Now God may require you to get up early and pray for 5-6 people. Because remember, there's no rental car policy. We want growth, but growth is messy. And remember, the second rule of growth was, we said, people grow to the size of their problem. Or, as we said it last week, people grow to the level of their pain threshold. I can tolerate this much, but I ain't going no further. Because that means I'm constantly having to change, which I'm constantly have to suffer loss, and I constantly have to endure pain. Amen.
Amen.
And these numbers are realistic. So, like you said, I think we're close numbers would be, you know, if we everybody all in, talking about kids and stuff, all of our active membership people that actually come within a 6-week time frame. Would be about 63, 65. So you take 65, and then we grow to 100. We got to endure the pain of perhaps just on statistics of 10 people. 10 people got problems. 10 people have perils. 10 people have perplexing situations. Or people situations and their family, whatever, or finances, and it's pain. Then we go to 250, now you got 25 people. How much can you take? Now, some people can't take one issue in their family. Because one issue comes up in their family, it's like hurricane category 5. It's a really big deal. I can't handle this. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And we talked about it last week or the week before last. 1 Timothy 2 tells us, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means I got to soldier up. We're not raising an audience because people want growth. When they think growth, they think, well, just get more people in the seats and numbers. But that there's a price that comes along with that.
That's
right. Are we willing to pay the price? Because it's easy to feel like, well, I can just coast on Easy Street. But if you're required to come in and pray and labor for 10 people, Because people don't just join the church, they have to be born again into the church. You know, just the older members of the old, so you can't join in, you got to be born in. Isaiah 66, verse 8 tells us, when Zion travailed, they gave birth to her children. How hard and how intense do you want to pray for growth? Things grow based on truth, not based on time. So we say we want to pray that the church grow. Well, you get really into the thing, you'll start laboring and travailing, and that's going to take up time. You have to be off social media a little bit more.
Amen.
That's change. You might have to cut the TV off a lot more. That's change. You may not can do your old daily routine like you've been used to doing. That means you lose some things. That's change. But will you do it for the Lord? Desire is one thing, but then we got to carry through. So we said leadership pain is the classroom for growth. So suffering, you have the definition there. The Greek word is something undergone. I just took it right out from Strong's Greek, i.e. hardship or pain. That's not a cuss word. That's not contraband to us Christians. That is part of the program for Christians. Pain is part of the program. Subjectively, an emotion, that's what we talked about emotions, I believe, or influence. Pain, as we just break it down and categorically from a big umbrella, we broke it down into the suffering of persecution. Persecution comes from people. Pressure. Pressure comes from circumstances that put to test your faith, what you believe. James 1, 2, that the trying of your faith. And three, a work of patience. What's tested, what's being proven, or pressure of circumstances being applied to your faith. Do you trust God, or do you trust what you see and feel? And most people will talk about what they feel and see, so that tells them that's what they're looking at, and that's what they end up trusting in. Walking, not walking by faith, but walking by sight, by appearances. Y'all following along with me?
Yes, yes.
And then pain is also the peril or danger situations. I mean, Florida, we just, you know, if you get news flashes, you know, just experience South Florida, Fort Lauderdale. I used to work out there when churches, I used to have that area. Not recently, but at a point in time in my career, I had that South Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, Jacksonville area. And so, I mean, it's heartbreaking. You know, 17 kids get killed, 14 injured. Somebody walk up with, that's peril and danger. Because, what about our kids? What about our grandkids? What about our neighborhoods? Are they secure from a 19-year-old walking in? What about what would happen just down in Sutherland Springs? Somebody walks in church. That's peril. They put that church in peril. I mean, they're a year and a half out still of trying to get a church built and permitted and all that done. They're trying to heal. That's peril. Amen. They couldn't have gatherings for 3 weeks after the whole incident. That's peril. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And then problems. Problems that arise due to situation struggles or stress. This is the day-to-day stuff. You know, as a leader, one of the litmus test is your ability to solve and think through problems. Well, if you can't handle the stress or the struggle of a complex problem, then your pain level is low. Because some people get frustrated, go off the handle, don't bring me any problems. Amen. And if you read Paul's account in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about perils of robbers, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Second Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about perils of robbers, perils of this, perils of fasting, perils. He had sleepless nights. He had days where he floated on a piece of wood in the water. I mean, shipwrecked several times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. That means they crushed the bones in his feet and legs, and he had to heal up. That's why Dr. Luke had to follow him. He had stripes 5 times. 39. I mean, this guy went through some pain. He went through some pain. And you know, his messenger, Satan, was the one that was beating him with pain, problems, peril, and persecution. It wasn't sickness and disease, as some teach, that he had some sort of eye disease or some thorn in the flesh. It was the devil always going after him. Because God told him in Acts chapter 9, when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, tell Ananias, he said, tell him, lay hands on him so he can receive his sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and tell him all the things, I will show him all the things he must suffer for my name. How would you like to get that at your calling? Your job interview. Sister Ola, you know, I'm going to tell you, I want you to do this, and you feeling all great. And he said, but you got to go through all this, and this. That's what I said, many are called, few are chosen, right? All right, so we see what persecution, I kind of laid it out there for you. It's the public or private backbiting, criticizing, ostracizing, castigation, threats, hostile pursuit of or intimidation, and harassment by others. When people are involved, persecution occurs because everybody's not happy about a decision or direction or a designation of a leader. You know, so somebody's wagging their tongues. But it's packaged for the promotion process of the person because you have to go through the pain. Now, the point of truth, the reality of pain is inevitable, but the response to pain is a choice. We talked about those four different responses to pain. You can curse the pain, and when you do, you become a blamer. You can nurse the pain. When you do, you become bitter. When you can rehearse the pain, and when you do, you batter and bruise yourself. Now, think about rehearsing the pain. Rehearsing is just talking about all the things that you've had to suffer, either righteously or unrighteously. You're rehearsing the pain, and that's the problem. You mispurpose the pain in your life. Because now you become a victim versus a victor. You end up hurting in a bad way, and you end up hurting other people, and not in a good way. Amen? And this is what we call this emotional breakdown, mental breakdown, due to self-afflicting, self-sabotaging, self-defeating behavior when you rehearse the pain. Nursing the pain is not good either. You're always picking at your wounds and pulling out the scabs. God does not mean and intend for suffering and pain to make you bitter, but to make you better. Isn't that good? And so we reverse the pain, we become better. We get empowered by God's grace and the exercise of our faith. We walk through and work through it with cheerful endurance, perseverance, mental positivity, and power. That's why he uses the word rejoice every time. Rejoice, or in the case of persecution, bless and curse not. He uses spiritual truth to combat natural experiences of pain. Isn't that good?
Yes, amen.
So here's some questions we need to ask ourselves, because we'll finish next week. Just keep this handout handy. Do you want to be a better leader? So that's a question for you to answer. Then what do you have to do? The answer is, right next to A, raise the threshold of your praying. Do you want our church, TWCC, to grow, or your personal business or career to reach higher goals? The answer is, reluctance to face pain is your greatest limitation. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Your reluctance to face pain is the greatest limitation. Not wanting to change. Not wanting to suffer loss. Not wanting to endure pain. You see, there's no growth without change, no change without loss, no loss without pain. You'll grow only to the threshold of your pain. So this guy, Kenji Miyazawa, he says, if you're not hurting, you're not leading. You must embrace pain and burn it as fuel for our journey. Now, some things about pain. So we'll cover a few, and we'll try to stop early, so we had some small refreshments for you guys to enjoy for Valentine. Number one, the longer I avoid a problem, the bigger it generally becomes. So if I summon the courage to endure small amounts of pain to do what's right early, I will avoid larger doses of pain later. Now that's powerful. So we have to be early adopters to God's program and process. We have to be early adopters of God's program and process to process pain. Number two, pain is part of progress. Anything that grows experiences some pain. If I avoid all pain, I'm avoiding growth. And you can tell when you start to back off because the intensity of the pain increases, when I'm moving forward in the will and work and plan of God, and the pain increases. And I've heard many people say this over the years of just being pastor. Said, you know, when I started serving and working, it seemed like all, you know what, broke loose.
Yes.
And they start backing off because I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. Well, that means you're reluctant to pain.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean pain is an evil and pain is an enemy. It just means your pain tolerance is lower. It needs to be raised. Amen?
Amen.
It's painful when you're thinking, because we had to commit, even like with pastors, and we had to commit, you know, the ministry is priority. So you know, in certain special situations or Saturdays, a lot of times, you know, you have to crank. And there are some Saturdays that are 10 hours, 12 hours of just putting time into work. It was painful because if your body wants to go, I want to go to the mall like everybody else. I want to go to the movies like everybody else. I want to take Pat Cynthia out and we have fun and just shop like everybody else. You can't do that. Amen.
Amen.
Number three, often the difference between where I am and where God wants me to be is pain, the pain I'm unwilling to endure. The pain I'm unwilling to do. Doing what's right, no matter how difficult, is a rare trait in ministry, life, and leadership. Most choose easy. We must choose right over easy. Right trumps easy. Right trumps fast. Right trumps easy. Right trumps fast. Because some people want to grow. I want to grow fast. Well, let's grow right. And let's grow healthy. This is good stuff.
Amen.
Number five. Every leader feels pain. In fact, all leadership is a magnet for pain. It comes in many forms, and we kind of broken it down earlier for you. Number six, pain is no evil unless it conquers us. When we start squeaking about the pain, again, we talked about the emotions of a leader. When that bitterness starts to backbite, starts to bicker, or starts to be bothered, and I like how Brother Hagin used to say it, when you feel mistreated, the devil's working on you. When you start feeling mistreated, the devil's working on you. You feel like, this is strange. Why am I going through so much pain? Well, everybody goes through this. The temptation you're experiencing is not uncommon. 1 Corinthians 10:13 ensures us that. There is no temptation that's taken to you that is such as common to man. You have to call it. You have to acknowledge it. This is common. This is not complex. This is not no unique, the devil's picking on me. We have to stop being babies about it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So number eight, for all pastors and all other leaders, ignoring pain in leadership ignoring pain is leadership leprosy. We'll explain more about that next week. Leadership leprosy. And we know leprosy was an incurable disease. Because, see, some people have pain that they don't want to even do what's right because they say it's going to be painful to confront somebody. It's going to be painful for me to connect with somebody because they're going to take up my dime. It may be painful for me to invite somebody because I might have to pay for lunch. and go in the hole a little bit on my budget. Amen. See, it may promise ignoring pain, meaning it, ignoring pain may promise short-term gain of avoiding discomfort, but at the it has a devastating long-term consequences. It can absolutely derail a ministry or church and put us backwards instead of forwards. We don't want that, do we? Now, this is real stuff, guys, because God is getting ready for us to change our location and transition into that building. Now, you go in there and say, well, I don't like this. I don't like this. It don't look perfect. It looks small. Guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to say, you're going to show everybody that you had low pain tolerance. Because if God shows up in a closet room, a broom closet, that's a blessed place to be. And remember, it is an honor, and it should be a joy and a privilege to minister to one person. I don't like all this crowdedness, and I got to scoot over, and people are touching my elbows. Got to scooch over, you know. We saw that at Rhema. It was painful. When we had 5,000 people, when Brother Hagin was around, and people were throwing their Bibles to get a seat and actually fussing over seats, and people didn't want to scoot over, and it became messy. I still remember. But that's what growth is. Amen. Make friends with your pain. It's a part of leadership. Our pain tells us we're moving in the right direction. New pains will always be part of your life as long as you continue climbing the ladder to your destiny. If we see pain as an unwelcome intruder, we will fail to ask the right questions. And our heartache, and you can say headache in some cases, will be wasted. Come on, let's stand with me.